Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the OK Gamers Podcast. I'm Brian, here with Andrew.
Hello.
And Pat. I didn't fuck it up this week, so that's cool.
Proud of you. Good job, my boy.
We're learning here. It's, you know, taking things one day at a time. Or one day of the week at a time.
1 week at a time.
Got it. Nailed it. It's great.
1 week at a time.
How are my friends? How are you guys doing?
I'm all right. You know, I'm alive.
I'm just out here doing, you know?
Not dead.
That's a plus.
That's certainly a plus.
Yeah, definitely not dead.
Cool.
Yes.
All right. Well, this is a podcast where some friends get together and talk about video games and then other random nonsense.
Like not being dead.
No, we don't talk about it. At what point do we ever just talk nonsense, Brian? Other than our 20-minute hard seltzer conversation in the middle of the episode last week.
I told that was informative, all right?
Oh, shit.
It was, people had to know.
It was good. I mean, I started it, but it's still good. I love it.
Yeah. All right, so we can get right into it. Pat, Andrew, you guys want to kick things off? What have you guys been playing? Anything new?
I have been playing the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. Is that what it's called? Yeah, Legendary, yes. Right? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, yes. I've been playing the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. I played all of 1. Had a lot of fun with it. Couldn't wait for it to finish. I could jump into 2, though. And those are very nice pins, Pat.
Thanks. It's a piece of tackle.
Should hang them on the fridge. Maybe lose my train of thought. Oh, yeah.
You're
so
Legendary Edition.
Yeah, I'm in Mass Effect 2 now. And, man, I forgot how fucking good Mass Effect 2 is. It's such
How could you forget? It's the Two's the It's the best out
it's
of all
the best
three.
One.
Because the last time I played it is when it came out. That's
yeah,
why
it was
I don't remember.
Still
it was
the best then.
So, like, it's
I
so,
Yeah, it's
so
you
good.
Talking about that. Like, everybody's been talking about it, but you specifically, you know, obviously because I talk to you more than most people when it comes to video games. And once you're done with the Legendary, well, I mean, once, like, I guess games in general, once things slow down a little bit, I want to very much revisit those games and play through them all in that order that they released, because I never finished 3, so, which is, I know, shame on my part.
It's, you're gonna have fun, because it's cool. I'm like
the,
I'm
my
really
whole thing,
it.
And I think I've said this before on this podcast, is that like 2 for me was it. Like 2 was just so good, and like the shit they made you do at the end of 2, like the suicide run and all that stuff. And I was just kind of like, I don't ever like no, like like they, it's peaked.
Yeah. 3 is great. There's nothing like, you don't have any like crazy shit like the end of 2 happening, where like pretty much everybody is on the chopping block. But there are moments in 3 where you have to make some really tough choices. And, like,
I don't remember 3 at all.
I remember.
So I'm pretty excited to get to 3 because that's pretty much brand new for me.
I specifically remember one very, very hard choice. And it, like, bothered me throughout the rest of my playthrough.
Yeah. It's
that's how you know you got a good game.
Yeah. It's cool getting the DLC right away. So like I didn't know that they added like the Liara like Shadow Broker DLC.
Yeah.
And it's cool to play that with it just kind of like woven in, and it seems like pretty natural.
Yeah.
And it's cool getting like that like access to like the Shadow Broker like base area type thing. Like it's just really cool that and they did a really good job with like remastering or upscaling, whatever the fucking term you would use. It looks very, very good. It looks really good on. I'm playing on Series X, 4K 60. I have it on that setting.
And you have that? You own it physically?
No. Sorry. I'm not buying physical games for the near future. Cause,
foreseeable future.
Thank you. My apartment's like too small, and I can't store anything anymore. So
it's for like certain games, I'll buy digitally. And other ones I'll own physically just because, like, I know if it's something that, like, I'm going to end up selling back at some point, or like I just, you know, I won't replay it a bunch of times.
Yeah. I rebuy games a lot, so that's why I figured if I bought digitally, I would just kind of...
You wouldn't do that?
Yeah, exactly. Because to sell a game now, I would have to sell my PlayStation or my Xbox.
That's a good point. But I mean, like, also now, I think it's like, at least with Microsoft and Sony, they've kind of backpedaled on their recent decision in terms of turning off some of the store functionalities for later generations. But if you buy something digitally, you will own it forever, you know, especially if, like, you, you know, if you, yeah, as long as you keep your account information. Mm-hmm. So,
but that's just cool. That's really all I've been, that's really all I've been playing.
Word. I have officially beaten Resident Evil since last week.
Oh, there he goes.
It was great. I liked it a lot. I did not like it as much as I liked 7 as a whole, but I thought there were moments in 8 that I liked a lot. Specifically the ending I thought was great. The Dimitrescu Castle, or whatever, however the fuck you pronounce her name. The castle was great. I thought the village was cool. The dollhouse was fucking awesome.
Fuck the dollhouse. Fuck the dollhouse so much,
it was,
dude.
So the dollhouse was so cool and such a departure from, like, your standard, like, Resident Evil, like, shit. Like, I thought it was so good. I was shitting my pants the entire time, but I thought it was
fucking
great.
Terrible. God, I'll give you guys just a quick little, like, hit a tidbit of my life and how awful that was. I grew up, like, when I was a kid, like, I was terrified of dolls. Uh-huh. Terrified of dolls. Uh-huh, like, yeah. The Chucky movies when I was a kid fucking haunted me. Mm-hmm. Like, I could not stand those movies, fucking hate them so much, specifically because it's a fucking doll. And then, like, that just created this, like, phobia of spooky fucking dolls. So, once I, like, strolled in there, or, like, once I saw that, like, character model in the beginning of the game, mm-hmm, the doll maker, I was like, fuck you, fuck this. And then, like, once I strolled in there, I was like, doc, fuck that, fuck you, like, fuck
nope,
this,
nope,
fuck.
Nope.
So, yeah, I was absolutely losing my mind. And I'm not going to say what happens, but that, the first time, like, the thing happens there, and you know what I'm talking about, I paused it. Yo. I literally paused it. I was like, no. Like,
yeah, it's actually funny, because, like, I first got in the dollhouse, and I was, like, kind of exploring, and, like, the atrium, like, the entranceway. Like, I was trying to get, like, I was trying to clear all the rooms, so, like, on the map, turning them from red to blue, so finding all the items. So, like, I got in there, and I was, like, looking around forever, like, where are these items, like, whatever, I don't understand what's happening. So, like, I went and took a dump. Sorry, TMI. And then I, like, Googled it, like, where do I get these fucking things? And it told me, like, it's after this part. I was like, okay, cool. I came back. Amanda, while I was away, had done the same thing, but she Googled the entire section. So she knew it was happening. Like, what was going to happen. And then when it happened, I audibly was like, no fucking way! And I immediately just booked it, and I took the fuck off, and I started running. And she was like, she thought it was fucking hilarious, and she was just sitting there giggling the whole time. I was like, this is a nightmare. This is terrible. Like, why would they do this to me? But yeah,
yeah,
that
it's
whole...
It's literally a nightmare.
That whole section was great. And yeah, I mean, you know, whatever complaints we had, we aired a lot of our grievances out last week.
I mean, yeah, the more I play it too, and I'm like, I guess at the halfway point because I've done 2 of the 4 lords, mm-hmm, now, and like, still the combat to me is just like hit or miss here and there at certain sequences, but other aspects of the game in terms of like set pieces, themes, you know, overall concepts, like, it's great. I think it's an awesome entry into the series. So
the ending makes me really excited for what is going, like, what the fuck they could do, like, past this. Like, it's actually really, really interesting. So
yeah, I'm excited to see where the series goes.
Yeah,
like, more than ever, honestly.
Yeah. So yeah, that beat that. Me and Dan have been fucking around with some Chivalry 2. Played a couple nights ago. I was playing a little before we started doing this. Game's great. It's a lot of fun. It's a good, like, just, I want to jump in and fuck around for, like, 20 minutes, play like a game, chop some dude's heads off, throw a sword. I don't know. Yell.
I dude, the battle cry is so
it's
funny.
It's great. I love it.
When Jake was doing the Before You Buy For It, I just kept hearing it.
Yeah.
And I just was like, take my headphones off and be like, I was like, what are you playing? He's like, oh, we're doing Chivalry. I was like, oh, but I just kept hearing it for the rest of the day. Oh! Yeah,
it's really good.
And then I left for the day and I heard it down the hall.
Yeah, it's really good. Having a lot of fun. I wasn't like a big fan of Chivalry, the first Chivalry. I thought it was just okay. But for whatever reason, same. this one for whatever reason is like way into it. It's a lot of fun. The customization that's available is fucking bananas. I don't know if it was as intense in the first game. I'm assuming it was, but like the amount of options, like weapons, headgear, armor, shields, like all of that shit. Like there's tons and tons of shit that you can unlock. And yeah, it's just cool. It's pretty much like a big, it's like medieval Battlefield. Basically, it's like, you know, you have an attack and a defend team, and then the attack team is usually like trying to push through objectives while the other team is trying to stop them.
And seems just like a lot of fun.
And just fucking everybody swinging swords and hammers and fucking throwing heads at each other. Like you can do the Saving Private Ryan, like, you know, like in the D-Day, like the beach scene when the guy gets his arm blown off and then he picks it up and he's like walking around. Like, you can get your arm chopped off, but survive, and then pick your own arm up, and then start beating people with it. It's like really, it's just like a bunch of just dumb bullshit, and it's just a ton of fun.
They're really leaning into the absurdity, I feel like, this time around. Which is
and
like,
it's great. It's you can...
Cool.
There's an emote where you can just laugh. So, like, I was playing with Dan the other night, and, like, we spawned in together, and I just laughed all the way until we, like, encountered an enemy. And, like, he was like, who the fuck is laughing? I was like, me. And he was like... But, yeah, it's just a bunch of funny, silly shit that you can do.
Yeah, you guys talking about it, the dumb fun, quote-unquote, like, you know, terminology you guys have been using is a good sell for something like that, so...
Yeah, very much so. It's also only, I think it's on Steam, on Epic for like 40, but it's, I think it's actually only 30 or something.
Think they have a sale or something where it's like new, you can get like $10 off on something, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, when I bought it, it starts at $39.99, I think. Like when I bought it, I had an Epic Store coupon from something that I don't remember.
They gave an Epic coupon to everybody like last week, I think.
Okay, so yeah. So I did, it cost me $30 instead of 40, so that was even more.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That price point, you know, even if it's something you play for a few weeks, you know, can't beat that.
I wish I started Ratchet & Clank today, but I can't, or I couldn't. So instead, I started the Final Fantasy VII Remake DLC.
Why couldn't you start Ratchet & Clank today?
Because my Wrangler decided it didn't want to start today, and I couldn't go buy it. So now I have to figure out what the fuck is wrong with that. But yeah, so, I mean, it's fine, because I was able to start the Final Fantasy VII Remake DLC Intermission, which is the Yuffie DLC, and so far it's great. It's really good. Yuffie is up there as far as, like, combat controls. She's as fun as Tifa, in my opinion. Like, she's a fucking blast to use. She's got some cool, like, she's got a cool arsenal, like, some of the stuff that she can do. And I like the fact that in the original Final Fantasy VII, she was an optional party member that you could maybe not even get. And the fact that they're weaving her into the story and making her, like, kind of important to the story is cool. I played 2 hours. I was doing a bunch of, like, some of the side quests and stuff that are around. Brian, I don't know if you remember, from the original Final Fantasy VII, the Fort Condor, like, minigame.
It was
on the open world map, and it was like literally just a mountain with like a big gold eagle on it.
Okay.
And you have to like set up like troops, and they like march up the fucking mountain or whatever. So they made that like an actual, like, because that was fucking miserable. I hated that part. I hated that minigame in that fucking game so much. They made it into like a board game that like everybody plays. It's just called Fort Condor, and it's actually like pretty fun. It's kind of like a it's almost like a MOBA, the way they try to, like the way everything's set up. And, like, there's, like, two sides of a board, and there's two lanes to get through, and then there's, like, defensive. I think the other thing is called Vanguard, and then ranged. And each one, there's, like, a circle. Like, everything is weak to each other, basically. So you're kind of just trying to counter your opponent and then get past their guard and then destroy their towers and then their main little base.
Okay.
And it's actually, like, set up pretty well. You have, like, little, like, cards that you can play, and you have to you have, like, a bar that you have to wait to fill up to, like, send certain units out and shit. But I thought that was, like, a pretty cool, like, inclusion to that DLC. And I'm assuming that means that Fort Condor, like, that whole part from the original game just isn't gonna be, it's probably gonna be places you can visit, but that mini game isn't gonna be there, because, like, this exists, which I think is a better implementation of that, because it was just, like, a weird thing anyway. And I haven't really gotten into, like, any of the meaty story stuff yet. It takes place right after the second reactor, story wise so, like,
it's a bit of a ways in.
Yeah, so, like, it takes place, like, the second, probably, like, the last, like, third of the actual of the base game. But I haven't really done much past that. I was just kind of running around the Sector 7, like, doing whatever side stuff I could.
Cool.
And yeah, it's really good. The casting for Yuffie, I think, is perfect. Like, I think she plays, like, a cocky kid, like, really well, because Yuffie's only, like, 13 or whatever. So, like,
kid.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job with the casting and stuff, and she looks, in-game, looks great. I checked some of the, one of the shitty textures from the base game. From
the door.
From the PS4 version, the door.
They fixed the door.
Yeah, they fixed the doors. They all look great. I do want to go into the, I bought the, like, the intergrade version, so it's, like, the PS5 copy that gave me the DLC for free, basically. So I do at some point want to, like, start up the base game and go check the flower garden over by Aerith's house, because that was another spot that was, like, fucking just, textures were just bad on the flowers. But the upper plates look really good. They used to be, like, weird, like, 2D, like, just images that they just, like, slapped up there, and now they look like, good and, like, 3D rendered and stuff, so I am very impressed, again, with the way the game looks.
That's cool. This is definitely something I should play.
Yeah.
Because from what I'm reading, too, the story implementation, or story, not implementation, like, the impact.
Yeah, it adds.
In terms of the story.
Apparently the ending of this adds a little extra to the,
yeah,
the
that's
ending
what I was
of
say.
The base game.
Jason Schreier finished it, and he tweeted out, basically just said, like, it's kind of required viewing now, unfortunately. He said it's, like, really adds a little bit more. He said it, like, I think in, I don't feel like grab my fucking phone and reading it verbatim, but it's something along the lines, like, you know, you should play this, and also, like, we'll, like, makes the, like, you know, the wait feel, we'll make the wait feel even longer for the, this, you know, for two.
Yeah,
so,
gotcha.
Or the second, not two, the second part.
Part two. So. Of, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you want, I can let you borrow my, the intergrade copy, which is, like, the PS5 copy, because I'm not sure. Another really great thing. I imported my save from the PS4 version, and it just gave
me
my platinum again. So that was great.
Double platinum.
So I'll let you borrow that, and then you're gonna have to buy the DLC, unfortunately. But
that's I figured. You know, it's you know, I was kind of looking at it like I was gonna buy the whole thing anyway. So that helps. So
yeah,
that's cool.
Instead of the $70, you can spend
Have the base. So if you have the base, you need to rebuy it, or is it if you have the base, you throw it in there? It has PS5 upgrades. How does that work?
If you paid for Final Fantasy VII, then you should get the upgrade for free. But I think didn't they give it away on PlayStation Plus or something? There's some weird.
That I'm not sure.
It's a good question.
If you have the, if you got it for free, I don't know. Wario was tweeting out the rules. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either. But the only reason I didn't actually upgrade it is because I GameStop had a steelbook that
I'm looking at it now. So I'm on the PlayStation Store, and it's Final Fantasy VII Remake upgrade for PS4 version owners.
Okay, yeah. So do you still have your copy, the PS4 copy, Brian, or no?
I believe I do. I have to check my shelf.
Right.
But I think I do. I haven't sold games back in a long time.
All right, well, yeah, if you have, though, then you can just upgrade it for free, which is nice. only reason I didn't really. It's like I said, the GameStop had a Steelbook, so I wasn't planning on pre-ordering it either. I was just going to go get it, and then I found out it had a Steelbook that you can only get from pre-ordering, so I did that. But that's it. I haven't really been playing anything else.
Cool. Yeah, so I started Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart today. I was able to play through a good chunk of it.
Nice.
It is everything I could have asked for. It's incredible.
Great. I'm going to try to pick up a copy tomorrow.
I will say this, that, and like Andrew, thank you for, you know, maybe, you know, bringing this to my attention. I didn't even realize, and shame on me for someone that's such a big fan of the series. This is actually a sequel to like the original storyline and story like timeline. So there's IGN put out a really good video. It's a 13-minute recap, literally starting from the very beginning to the most, you know, recent release in this timeline, and even makes note about how like the 2016-2017 version that was on PS4, how it's like kind of like a reimagining of the original. So like they take some liberties with that one, and they kind of like talk about how that differentiates from the original and how that like fits in, which was a very cool way to like tell that or explain it.
Excuse me.
And I was saying to both Pat and Andrew, I think before we started recording, that I even missed one of the mainline games and didn't even realize there's been a lot of games in the series.
I missed a bunch. Like,
I think so. There was either Up Your Arsenal, or there was one other one that was on the PS2 late on the PS2's life cycle.
I think you said Into the Nexus was one that you didn't play.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the thing is I couldn't remember. There's bits from Into the Nexus, but I remember the characters from Into the Nexus, so it was a little weird because I don't know if they were introduced in Kraken Time, but we're kind of getting to the weeds here, so not going to stay on it too much. But I will highly recommend that anyone who's going to play Rift Apart checks out like a little story recap, because it does. They do introduce some, you know, there's some characters that they kind of talk about and some things that, you know, like it'll certainly be beneficial to you to have that knowledge going into it.
Yeah.
But even if you don't, you could probably go into it fucking dry. They do a great job just like, you know, setting things up initially. And like the first set piece is incredible. Introduction to this game is just like, it's A, from like a looks perspective, like PS5 is a fucking workhorse. Insomniac knows how to make a game on the system already. The colors are just incredible. You go just like the first city you're in is just neon lights everywhere. Everything's just like very vibrant. And then just like lush landscapes, you know, a different area. And like, you know, like when the game opens up, there's not a bad thing I could say about the game right now. So it's one of those, which is really cool.
Yeah, I only played three of the games. It was Ratchet & Clank, Going Commando, and Up Your Arsenal. Those are the only three I played. So I didn't play any of the ones after those. So I'm definitely going to have to watch that video because I've missed a bunch.
And it's, like, it's, you know, the story, they do a good job recapping it. And it's also, like I said, you can go into it completely blind, and it does a good job of being like, this is kind of where we're at, you know? And it's just like, I feel like they had to.
Yeah, it's been so long.
Well, not even just that, but like, this is like a big PS5. Oh, yeah, one of the only PS5 exclusives. And
yeah.
I feel like it had to be able to be played by everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I hope it gets played by everybody because it's incredible. It's really great.
I can't wait. So, it's installed and ready to go. I plan on touching it tomorrow. I want to try to get through a lot of Mass Effect 2 tonight. Well, not a lot, but, you know.
Enough. But, yeah, no, it really is. I mean, like, from the perspective of, like, graphical fidelity, too. And, like, there's a day one patch that put in, I guess, like, quote-unquote ray tracing. And it's also at 60 frames locked, which is incredible. The game just has an awesome flow to it in combat, you know, and also transition between cutscenes and just gameplay. Very smooth, you know, the very, very fast load times, like going from planet to planet, backtracking, having to do things, it's one of those, like, experiences. Like, I think we had the same with like Demon Souls when we like all first like fired that up on the PS5, we were like, oh shit, yeah, this is like this is really cool. Like, this is really showing some things off. This is one of those games too, especially because we're so early on in the PS5's life cycle. But yeah, this is like, I feel like this is like a can't miss for anyone that has a PS5.
Yeah, the fact that like we're so early, the console's only been out for what, like
handful of months, really. Yeah, I mean,
so like the fact that we're already getting games that look this good, like just think about games like that come out at the end of a life cycle that look as good as this game does right now.
Like, yeah, I'm not like a big photo mode person, but like I do respect the community, the photo mode community. And like I've already seen some like snapshots people have taken, and just like the up close shots of like, you know,
Ratchet,
Rivet, and like, yeah, you know, even Clank, and just like the those furry little Lombaxes, you know, like every little follicle hair on their adorable little faces just like is flowing. Like,
yo, if you don't follow Dot Pwn on Twitter, you should. He's like photo mode like genius.
I did some photo mode stuff with Ghost of Tsushima. That was it, though.
That's a perfect game to do it too. Yeah. I mean, granted, I mean, I know some people like they, you know, like I said, there's a community behind photo mode, and like, you know, big props to them because they do such a tremendous job. But like, you could take, you know, do it yourself, fuck with it, mess with it, you know, like they, you know, they give you all the tools there, and it's like, it just, this game looks so good, it's almost like you can't take a bad one. Like, yeah, it's one of those.
It's
I want John to get into photo modes.
Photo mode is like the like one of the only two options that are available if you press start in Resident Evil. Like, you hit start and it's like settings or quit, and then I think it is like just photo mode is there.
Yeah, I think that's really it. You're right. Yeah, I'm also like with the PS5, like the pause button and like the map button, the touchpad, like it's still just like one of those things where it's like weird to me. Like, I know I should be used to it because it's been two console generations, but it's that's just a me problem. But control wise, it's super fluid. Everything works really well. Like, the buttons are mapped like very smart. They like immediately add new mechanics, you know, for people that haven't played any of the games, they'll seem really neat. And there's also, for someone who's been a fan of the series for a really long time, there's some really neat things that they do early on, you know, with game mechanics. So it's excellent.
Yeah, I'm excited. I will be trying to pick my copy up tomorrow. Hopefully they are around.
Yeah, everyone, get your hands on it ASAP. Play it. Buy it digitally. ASAP. Do whatever you gotta do. ASAP. So, I can't wait to play more of it. That's it. That's all I've been playing besides Destiny and a little more RE8. So, I don't really have much more to say on those.
Well, then.
Yeah. So we could get into some news if y'all would like.
Let's fucking do it.
So we'll start off with the Xbox or Microsoft news that they announced the Xbox TV app and its own xCloud streaming stick.
Xbox so, trying to get in the TV game again, baby.
Yeah, so Microsoft...
Again, when did they try this?
That was like the whole marketing thing with the Xbox One when it originally came out, was that it could be like a cable box.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Funny funny story. When we had Optimum, I don't know why, but if I plugged my Optimum box into my, like straight into my TV, I would get no audio. And the picture would be all fucky. But if I plugged
through
it
the
into
Xbox.
My Xbox, worked.
It was fine?
Worked totally fine.
Hell yeah, dude.
So, I'm glad...
It was a cable box, dog.
That I'm glad that Xbox did that. And my ex could watch her Ranger games, and I didn't have to deal with it.
It performed like a cable box. It looked like a cable box. It looked
like a VCR. What are you talking about, cable box?
I mean, think about like an old... Think about the old school, like, Optimum cable boxes. That shit
looked
was...
like a VCR.
I mean, it looked like a VCR, too.
I'm not letting you win.
I wasn't trying to win.
Well, I'm good, because you're not going to.
Listen, go take a picture of whatever the fuck you're taking a picture of on your desk.
I will.
And I don't want to hear your damn shit anymore.
Brian, shut this fool
up. Anyway. So, Microsoft is already working with TV manufacturers to bundle Game Pass experiences, so that's kind of neat.
Are people angry about this yet? Are people going off, like, why are they even making consoles then?
I mean, I'll be honest with you, as like, this is like fucking super lazy, but like, I know I could literally just like, I could lay in bed, have my controller in one hand, and just hold down the Xbox button, it turns the console on for me, and I could just do everything I fucking want from right there. So it's like, but like, I guess like, there's like a step in there that maybe I don't need to do if it's like integrated to my TV already. I don't even know how to justify this.
I mean, honestly, I didn't even know that this was an announcement until like we talked about it like a couple minutes before we started recording. So,
yeah,
I feel like it's kind of flying under the radar a little bit. I'm sure when it gets a little bit more steam behind it, people will start bitching because that's what the internet does. But
yeah, I mean, like honestly though, like you know, like I have a fairly new OLED TV. The interface on it is extremely snappy. Like, I could go from fucking to Apple TV to Netflix to Hulu to Amazon. I could just, like, bounce between any of the streaming services through the TV's interface. It, like, barely any load times. It's extremely well integrated. If they just had an Xbox app on there that I could just slot into and just, like, you know, grab my controller and I'm fucking playing Halo 2 or whatever, like, without having to turn a console on, like, that would be fucking sick. You know, even if it's streamed, whatever, you lose some fidelity there graphically, but I'm sure there's people out there that they can market this to that if they do it right, people will, you know, pay for the service.
Well, yeah, this is all the stuff that Stadia wanted to do, and then everybody else is like, all right, we can do it too.
They just didn't do a good job.
Let's do a little better.
Yeah, Xbox is doing it the right way so far, in the sense of, like, it's all like, oh, you also get this, but you don't pay for this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like the whole thing with the streaming. How you just, you get it.
A quick note here. It says Microsoft isn't announcing exactly when this will be available on TVs, and they haven't stated which manufacturers it will bundle with. But, like, it's just something that's, like, hinted at. You said late this year. See it in the next 12 months is what, you know, Phil Spencer kind of hinted at. So, I mean, like, they're being a little vague, but also, like, they're starting to, like, drip feed in information. So, I guess, you know, time will tell, but, you know, depending on how they market it and how it's executed, you know, it's definitely something that could work, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, the you know, the Series X is, like, their big beefy boy. It's, like, the little obelisk, and then, like, the I don't even know what the white one's called. What is that?
Series S.
Series S, thank you. Like, that's really for streaming. Like, that doesn't have a disc drive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's less powerful. Like, so just, like, you know, if they could somehow just, like, glue that to the back of a TV, you're ready to go.
That's all it is them fucking gluing it.
Yeah, imagine just like some duct tape, 3M strips, ready to go. Yeah, so that's it. I thought it was an interesting article.
Yeah, it's,
you know, it's also just cool because, like, I don't know, it's like Sony, obviously, I just finished fucking gushing about Ratchet & Clank. Like, they've got exclusive now. They're like, that wheel's churning. And then Microsoft's just like, they're not there yet, but it's like, they're still doing stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all positive. It's all good things. You know, it's like, I don't, you know, Andrew said, like, if people started to bitch about it yet, it's like a good point, though, because, like, people will find a way to complain about this, because you're going to have your people who are like, where's my Halo? Where's my exclusive?
Well, that's exactly, like, what it's going to be. It's, well, you guys are doing this, but where are my exclusives? And, like, that's just,
it's just exhausting. It's just so exhausting.
Because there's no winning with those people, and they all need to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And then we'll move on from that, but felt that was worth discussing quick. So, one quick announcement, Battlefield 2042 is a all-multiplayer game that's coming in October. It's futuristic for anyone that wasn't sure what this one was going to be. I know the last one was set in a certain previous time.
I think World War II, I think it was Battlefield 5.
Yeah, but this one looks just like Modern Warfare, just a different iteration of it. Except there's a tornado.
There is a tornado in the end of the trailer. And I really hope that that's hinting towards, like, getting rid of the Levolution thing, because I guess, cool as that was, I don't know, it's whatever. So I'm hoping this is, like, the next step of that, and, like, there's going to be giant, like, weather events that, like, fuck shit up real good, and that'd be really cool.
So they, anyone that's played any Battlefield games knows the Conquest mode. That's, like, a standard staple for the franchise. That's just where two teams just fight over, like, play space on, like, a huge map, and they have everything. It's, like, usually a fucking 100 players, and there's tanks and planes, and it's just,
there's,
like,
five neutral points that both teams are, like, fighting for, basically.
So, you know, it says, like, it'll be amplified, bigger maps, higher player counts, like, you know, all these things. One of the other game modes, though, is called Breakthrough, and it says it's a more guided mode in which one team attacks while another defends. Sounds very Siege-esque. And from everything I've read, their character classes are very specific in the sense of, like, Siege-esque again. Like, they have gadgets. They all have, like, specific loadouts. So it seems like they're kind of taking the same approach, but also a different approach. Because, like, me reading this, like, and watching this trailer, it really did nothing for me. Like, I'm a fan of the Battlefield series. Like, I'll definitely play it and check it out. Just because, like, I'm a sucker and I play everything. And then, like, you know, reading about Conquest mode, that's just, like, one of those things, again, it's just, like, okay, the tried and true, like, you guys can't not have this. But then reading about Breakthrough, I'm like, okay, yeah, shit, this seems like something I'd play and check out. This seems way more my fucking speed and style. And also just glad to see they're kind of departing a little bit from their standard approach to things and trying to do something a little different, even if it maybe it is just a carbon copy of a lot of Siege ideas. You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, they couldn't break into the Battle Royale space, so Firestorm, I'm assuming, is just off the table now.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, you don't hear about it.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
So I'm assuming that's just gone now, and now they're going to try to incorporate something else, that another FPS genre, because really, Siege is one of a kind. And they're going to try to break into that space too, I guess, which is, I guess, fine. I don't know, whatever. Because they, like, the way you describe, at least, like, one team defends, one team attacks, it sounds similar to a game mode that they used to have. I think it was called Rush or something. I don't remember.
Calling my Gold Rush in Bad Company.
No, well, yes, but, like, it was, like, there was a defending team and then an attacking team, and then, like, the attacking team would push forward, capture whatever, and then the map would get longer, basically. And, like, the defending team would have to retreat back into that next objective area. And then the attacking team would have to get that and then move it back like that. And like that,
I hope it's not that. Well, I don't want that.
That's that's what the description sounded like.
Yeah, you could be right.
And if that's... They're marketing it as a new mode, so I'm hoping that that's not the case, because it's not, because they've done that before. So...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, exactly. And they apparently there's an... I don't know if this is a different mode, but they said... I think there's... I'm reading a little blurb here. It says there's another experience called Hazard Zone. The design director described as focusing as tight squad play, quote-unquote, distinctly different from the all-out warfare that, you know, people are used to with Battlefield. So, I don't know. I guess, you know, as... You know, this was also just, like, a very cinematic reveal trailer. You know, developer discussions that kind of, you know... conveyed and released this information about, you know, not a lot, a lot of the art and stuff's not final, so you know, I think there'd be a lot more news to to come out.
I'm pretty sure the gameplay reveal is like
soonish,
tomorrow,
right?
Hold on,
look. Yeah, they had all these screenshots of character classes, and all of them at the bottom says not final art, which is like a little interesting to hear, because it's like, if they're going to be showing gameplay within the next few days, figured something like that would kind of be set in stone, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. I do like Battlefield. I think Battlefield is another one of those, like, it's kind of like a dumb fun game to me. Like, you're not like, I don't really play that game that competitively or as competitively as I would play like Call of Duty.
And the other way, man, like, I like Bad Company, like those games and some of the earlier Battlefields, like, I would play those like way more in depth than I ever did any of the Call of Duties, like, besides like what was the third Call of Duty? Was that World War,
the third Call of Duty?
God,
that's Call of Duty 3.
Like, yeah, World of War.
Oh yeah, that was technically...
that one.
Wait, that was 5 or something?
Was. That was like...
Well, it's 1, 2, 3, Modern Warfare.
And then Modern Warfare 2, I thought, and then... Or was it World at War and then Modern Warfare 2?
I can't... I don't know.
I don't remember either. Real quick...
It all gets very confusing.
gameplay reveal for Battlefield 2042 is on the 13th, which is Sunday, as of this recording.
All right. Word.
Yeah, I mean, I... To your point, Brian, like, I will go out of my way to, like... specifically be really good at like a particular thing in Battlefield when I don't really do that in Call of Duty. Like in Battlefield, I forget if it was 3 or 4, I like got really good at sniping. like and I would just be that guy, like with like the bullet drop from like across the map, like catching headshots and shit, and like that stuff I'll do. But I don't like try to be like a super competitive person in Battlefield, because it's just kind of like, I feel like there's no... Unless you're, like, fucking unreal at that game, I feel like it's almost impossible to, like, be one of those kids that goes, like, 80-3 or something in a match.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely understand where you're coming from with that point. It's definitely... But then again, like, there's... You're always going to find, like, the people that play things differently, and, you mm-hmm. know, like, some people take Call of Duty more seriously, some people take Battlefield more different, you know, more seriously, so it's always going to be one of those types of things.
Yeah.
I much prefer to get, like, really into a Battlefield than a Call of Duty. personally.
Yeah, it's Battlefield because there's so much shit going on. Like, they tried to do that with World at War. Like, they tried to add, like, the big game modes with, like, a tank and shit like that. But, like, it just didn't lend itself well because, like, if you got in a tank in World at War, you're good. Like, there's not a lot that, like, anybody can do about it. There's no helicopters to take it out. There's no fucking, like, other tanks to fight it. Like, you just got people with RPGs, like, trying to destroy it. Like, so they tried, and it just didn't, it wasn't their thing. So, like, they're better with, like, the close combat stuff. The Battlefield games are, like, all about giant fucking just skirmishes just, like, in these crazy maps. And that's the stuff that, like, that I like. I like that stuff more than I like than Call of Duty, personally.
I just remember the last time I played a Battlefield game, I remember just, like, it just being overwhelming, and then also just, like, you would just spawn in, get sniped from, like, across the map, mm-hmm. something that you didn't even see, and just be like, what am I doing? This isn't fun. Like,
yeah.
It's why I Siege so much.
But, like, being able to drop in on, like Battlefield, like, 4, I think, like, dropping in on, like, a roof, like, a fucking giant skyscraper with a sniper rifle, and, like, just, like, pick a dude off, like, just one guy, like, a way out. And, like, he's just, like, you know, he's like, what the fuck?
When,
like,
you do it to somebody else, yeah, it's fucking it's great. Like,
but, like,
when it happens to you, you're like, what? You want to, like, scream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, I remember, like, my friend Anthony and me used to play a lot, and he used to, for whatever reason, like, every time we played, like, he would end up on the other team for whatever reason. So, like, we would just, like literally just go for each other, like, the whole time. And, like, I remember, like, a couple of really good moments where, like, he would be coming at me with, like, a helicopter, and I would RPG him out of the air, and he would be fucking, like, flipping out, like, how the fuck did you land that shot? And I'm like, I don't know. And then I parachute off a building, and then he kills me the second I land. It's like, I don't know. There's just some fun moments in Battlefield that you can have. Like, there's so much shit going on all the time.
That's true.
You're true.
Any other comments here or moving on?
Nah.
Cool. All right, so big thing this week was the Summer Games Fest hosted by folk hero Jeff Keighley.
Local legend.
So, yeah, there's we'll do a quick recap here. Pat, I expect an apology.
Yeah, dude. I already did. I apologize real hard.
So just for some context there, you know, we have, like, a good group chat going with, you know, the members of the OK Gamer podcast and then some friends of the show, John and Teddy. And, you know, Pat was making some comments about the Summer Games Fest.
Well, and technically, Andrew started it. And then I just chimed in and agreed.
It's Andrew's fault. So either way, whoever started it, it's okay. You know, apology accepted. We're past it. Water under the bridge. There, I made a comment about, you know, I just need everything, all the nonsense to just be done. Show me Elden Ring so I could just stop watching. And both Pat and Andrew were like, that's not going to happen, pal. So yeah, they we'll get into some of the other news, but we will start with the big one here. At least for us, and I think just for everybody, is that we actually got a release date, and they showed off gameplay for Elden Ring.
Yeah.
And as a fan of all of the Souls games and any of their offshoots, boy, oh boy, does this one look chef kiss.
Looks great. Looks really good. I'm really excited about it.
So what Andrew, I was saying that they, you know, you guys owe me an apology, but it's fine.
I got a what?
Nothing. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
Wait,
so
apology?
I apologized. You owe him one too now.
Oh, I wasn't mean about it.
I wasn't mean about it either.
You were mean about it.
I was not. If anything, you were mean to me.
I was, and I'm not sorry.
You just told me to shut the fuck up.
But I was right. I was mean, and I was justified.
Oh,
all
man.
Right. But yeah, so it's the biggest From Software game to date. Seamless interconnected worlds, dynamic weather, day night systems. Swamps confirmed, multiple swamps, so
sick,
fuck us,
dude.
Right? And this will have a free next-gen upgrade because apparently it's coming out on both cons, both iterations of the generations, last and new. So,
I mean, it's been in development for... Or when did it get revealed? It's got to be at least 2 or 3 years now, right?
Oh, boy, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know when Elden Ring was initially revealed.
I'm curious. When was Elden Ring revealed?
I want to say it was like 2019, 2018 or 2019.
Wow, I can't just Google that. It doesn't just come. E3 2019.
Yeah. So it's been going on 2 years now. Pretty much pretty much exactly 2 years because we're at E3 now. So, I'm not surprised that's coming out for both.
2017 after they finished The Ringed City.
Even longer. So,
well, it's when they started working on it, not when they announced it.
No, I know. But yeah, makes sense. Kind of harkens back to our conversation from last week too. A little bit.
Yeah, this one. it's cool that this, and Pat, you were saying this in our Discord. Shout out to OK Gamers Discord, OKGamers.com. Link to an event. That this is very much like a combination of or culmination of like all their concepts and ideas.
Yep.
And obviously, it's their biggest game to date, so it seems like they're gonna really just kind of, you know, meld it all together in a nice way for us. So
I'm also hoping. Here's to hoping, crossing my fingers, that there's going to be like somewhat of an actual story going on, being that George R. R. Martin is attached to this as well. I know that his shit can be pretty.
It'll be more obscure.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because it can go either way. It can be either like make a little more sense, or it can be
there'll be more story
doubly,
stuff.
Doubly worse.
Like, yeah, exactly. That's
be
what I'm saying.
Doubly as obscure as okay, every other Souls game.
Here's more story stuff. It still doesn't make any sense, though. Like,
yeah, I feel like
yes.
the only From game that has ever come out that had like a pretty solid story from start to finish was Sekiro.
Yeah, that definitely was the most straightforward from a story perspective.
Easiest one to follow.
Yeah. There you go. Easiest one to follow. The rest is just
any of the Souls nerd. Games. Yeah, Souls games. Forget it. You got to watch. I know Dan, he knows
watch,
it by heart.
Go watch Vati Vidya's videos, yeah, and he'll fucking fill you in all everything you need to know.
Yeah, and Bloodborne, I fuck if I know, man. It's werewolf lichens, somewhat something.
It's all just, you know, moons and stuff.
Also moons.
Tentacle monsters.
So I love that you just summon your horse.
Oh, yeah, it just appears under you. It's great.
Yo, it's great.
I love that.
They were just like, yo, how come, like, how do we not make loading, like, having a horse just, like, appear in the background, like, every other game when you whistle it? Just, no, just load it, like, manifest, just, like, particle eyes underneath you. There you go, you're riding it.
Figure that out.
It's great, genius. So, and also just the, I love that the trailer, as much as it just was, like, a very Souls-like game trailer, but also just did this great thing where it was like, here's 50 different enemy types that are gonna fuck you. Like, here's a pot with hands. Here's a giant hand. Here's an umbilical head or head tentacle head monster. Like, okay, sick. Yes, sure. Like, great. Oh, okay. I think I'm done flapping my gums about Elden Ring. I'm very excited. Andrew as well, right?
I can't wait, man. I'm just like I kind of want to go. I've been saying that I want to play all the Souls games this year, and I've been trying to take it slow, but after seeing that trailer, I'm like, oh, man, I kind of just wanted to play a Souls game. Like, I'm like, I do have Dark Souls 2 installed on my PS5. Like, I could just jump on in.
Dark Souls 2 is a good one. They're all good. They're all good.
But, yeah, I'm very excited. I can't wait.
Yes, that's really the big one for us, and I think for everyone, the mutual agreement from the Summer Games Fest is like this. That was the announcement, or the you know, like not it was already announced, but it was like the we got a fucking
even
January 21st, 2022, which is a great. Hopefully, it sticks.
Mm-hmm. Even Jeff Keighley was like, "Finally, it's time. We got it. Here we go." You know, like
it was funny too, because like I was stopped watching. Because, like, you know, I don't know. It's a lot of shtick, and there was some good announcements, but I can't just sit and watch one of these things.
Yeah, I had it playing in the background.
Yeah, exactly. But then, like, once you guys were like, hey, I was like, no, okay.
I really didn't expect it to pop up.
Same. Oh, neither did I. I was just fucking with you guys, but it's good to be right.
I never once expected that.
If I'm going to be right about anything, I'm glad it was this.
Same. Yeah, same.
Yeah, so I'm really, like, going to talk about some of the more, like, prominent things or announcement type stuff. I think Tales of Arise was already announced, right, Pat? And they just kind of
That was like I think the first like real gameplay reveal, and it looks great. I didn't play any of the other Tales games, and Dan constantly tells me that I need to, but now I just won't, and I'll just play this one.
Yeah, that a boy. There you go.
And this looks awesome. I'm really excited about it.
Cool. Glad to hear it. Then we have Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
As a Borderlands fan, as far as like gameplay and stuff. I am excited about this. I think it looks cool.
So just for some context here, this is a high fantasy Borderlands spinoff based on the offbeat Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep DLC from Borderlands 2. So this has an incredible voice cast. I'm going to wrap off some names here. Andy Samberg, Wanda Sykes, Will Arnett, Ashley Birch, just to name a few. Says there's characters you can customize, wield spells. It's not an official part of the Borderlands canon, so they could just go fucking crazy, do whatever they want. But if you like, it's like, you know, very specific to that style of humor, I'm sure. So it's you know, it's fun to see them kind of do something in a different genre, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's I'm expecting Borderlands like gameplay generally, but with like with some crazy like high fantasy swords and magic and wacky shit, which will be cool because you know you can only shoot stuff for so long.
You ain't kidding, pal. So there was a bunch of other announcements. I'm just kind of going to try to recap some of or all, I guess, as best I can. And if you guys have anything else you want to add or interject, please, by all means. So Metal Slug Tactics, set it right this time, brings the classic 90s franchise into a new genre. So that seems interesting.
It's cool. Metal Slug, I've always really liked Metal Slug. So I think this is a cool like implementation of that to kind of bring it forward.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I like turn-based games. I really do. So this is, you know, it's on my radar. Yeah. Our boy Hideo Kojima introduced that Death Stranding is getting a director's cut from PS5 with a trailer that I think had a lot of hidden messages.
Yeah, there's going to be some wild-ass Metal Gear Solid crossover or something happening.
He did, like, the trailer, which, you know, was very Death Stranding because it has the character from that game, you know, but was very, like, Metal Gear-esque with the box and, you know, like him...
fucking music the shelf and the music, music was the fucking the, from like when he first gets into the warehouse. It was like the music and I was like
there was like I like there were like, you know, the internet sleuths, like I the replies were great because it was like, you know, they immediately like dissected it and were like, oh, this is him shelving Metal Gear and like say like in on the box it says like handled with love and like people interpret it as like, you know, now it's being the franchise is being handled with love with some by somebody else.
Jake pointed out that in a lot of movies oranges represent death. And Kojima's like a big movie guy.
Oh, he is. All right. Oh, yeah, he is.
He pointed out two scenes in The Godfather where like oranges pop up around someone dying. And he even brought up in Breaking Bad when Ted like slipped and fell and like paralyzed himself.
Yeah.
It was a bowl of oranges. Like, so that's like a thing that pops up in like media and art and stuff. And so he was like, yeah, he goes, that's not a, you know.
That sounds just like a coincidence.
Thank you.
He didn't just decide to just throw oranges. Like, what should we put in? There's oranges?
Exactly.
Like, it was very clearly a conscious decision.
That man is too smart. Too smart for me. But yeah, it's curious if there's like something, like if he knows something about like a remake or like the next iteration in Metal Gear franchise. I don't know. Either way, I'm very curious to see what the director's cut has specifically, if there's like more story stuff. If there was like a DLC that they're like not going to release and then it's just going to be in this. I have no idea. This is one of those games that like I'm going to have a really hard time deciding if I want to replay it or not.
Yeah, I was talking to Jake about it today where I think like most of me wants Death Stranding to be like a one and done experience.
Same. I'm very much in that boat too.
You know? And it has nothing to do with like, you know, like the game itself. Like, oh man, like I just don't think I can play that game again. You know? Like not like that. But more of just like it was like a pretty unique game, and I kind of want to just like
super unique.
Yeah, and I just want to. I kind of want to just leave it. Like I experienced it. I played it. Like,
no, yeah, I'm 100% with you on that one. Yeah. I mean, like it's something. Unless they said like, yeah, there's like a lot of story stuff in here that you like wouldn't want to miss, then maybe I would revisit it.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, there's also like you could play the game entirely differently if you wanted to as well. I mean, like there's, you know, there's a lot of mechanics in that game. You know, you could
definitely
not interact with or interact with, so I mean like it's you know, there's a lot of depth to it, so I'm very curious. So it's also one of those games too where like I don't know if I ever would want a sequel to Death Stranding, but I don't know.
No, I mean, don't even know how you'd be able to do that.
He'll find a way to tell a story, come on. Like, but so that's that. Call of Duty Warzone Season 4. It starts June 17th for those that care. Among Us will have new classes, cosmetics, modes, and maps that's being released soon. I'm looking for some of the more important ones here. The Anacrusis? How do you even say that? Jesus
the
Christ.
The Anacrusis.
Anacrusis. That was right the first time. Man, I don't like the way that sound's coming out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The Anacrusis.
Looked okay. I just... That looks to me like somebody was like, oh, you know what hasn't been done in a while? Like, Left 4 Dead something. And then, like, they were working on that, and then they had this reveal, but then also, like, Back 4 Blood got revealed, like, a couple months ago, so they were like... They're just like, oh, shit. So they just have, like, this weird, like, Left 4 Dead-style, like, alien game with, like 70s future shit going on. I don't know. I mean, it could be great. It just looks okay to me.
Yeah, from what I saw, it looks fine. So, Amazon Games released its MMO New World later this summer. That does not look good. For those that care, Rocket League will have a Fast and Furious crossover on June 17th.
That's pretty cool.
It's great. It makes sense. Put the cars cool. in the car game.
All right, fine. But like, I just want Fast and Furious to stop.
That's a series away. That needs to go away forever.
It just needs to go away, dude.
It needs to go away.
They said the next one's the last one, right? Or they're doing
no. They have like I think this last trilogy.
Oh, okay.
Or something, from what I remember reading.
Can't wait till Disney Plus buys it, and then they have off-spin television series.
Off-spins.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, Vampire the Masquerade Blood Hunt will come out later in 2021. That's a game I'm very excited for. Hopefully it doesn't get delayed anymore. So Dark Pictures Anthology, House of Ashes is an Iraq war horror adventure. Their debut on October 22nd. I know Dan's played all of these iterations in this franchise, so I'm sure he'll have more to say about that. But the first one was really cool.
Until Dawn was great.
Yeah.
Until Dawn was fucking incredible, actually.
House of Lana, which looks very pretty, will be out for Steam and Xbox.
Planet of Lana.
That was House of Lana.
Planet.
Huh. Well, the article here that I'm reading is wrong, then.
Well, they are wrong. Because it is planet.
Good to know.
I specifically remember that because it's like meteors and shit happening, and like this big robot eyeball like off in the distance, and it's just like watercolor and pretty.
Good to know. Endless Dungeon, that's still in the works. I think that game looks just okay at best.
Yeah.
For those that ever wanted Nier Automata content, that'll be in Fall Guys soon.
That's such a weird inclusion. Right? I was like, when they were like, this legendary franchise, I was thinking it was going to be like
Halo
or something. Half-Life. And I was like, and then they showed 2B running around. I was like, oh, that's all right.
Like, okay.
Sure, I know there's definitely that one guy who's just like
I love
Fall
those
Guys
games
all the time.
I love Nier. I love fucking Nier Replicant, the remake. I love fucking Automata. But I did not expect to see a skirted bean doing an obstacle course.
Well, now you got it, Pat. It's for you. Back 4 Blood is a new trailer. I really want this game to release, and then I want all of us to just play it. And I hope we play it. So, and I hope it's good.
Yes.
I'm definitely trying to play it.
Looks great.
Tunic is still happening.
It looks good.
Looks good. Hopefully, it's there's no release date yet, but it's still in the works. The Zelda
there's a demo.
Game, so. There's a demo. Yeah, Xbox is getting a bunch of demos soon, which is cool. So bring back demos, right? Bring back demo discs.
PlayStation Underground.
That's what I'm saying. Tribes of Midgard. I almost said Midgrad, but it's Midgard. Oh boy,
Midgrad.
It looks just like Valheim, but it's not.
Yeah, it's like that, like Diablo isometric Valheim or whatever.
Yeah. So
that weird, like top down
Viking style adventure game. Colorful art style. If it's for you, it's for you. And then last but not least, actually it is last, but Evil Dead the game looks like Andrew summed it up perfectly earlier.
It looks so fun.
Looks like everything we wanted from, I was almost going to say Predator. Man, remember that game?
I mean, that too.
Yeah, honestly.
Friday the 13th and Predator Hunting Grounds. Like, so
yeah.
I don't know. It looks cool. I mean, they also, I didn't see like a ton of it because I got up and went and did something. So like I was kind of like peeking glances at the TV and I saw some gameplay stuff. It looks visually, it looks really good too. Like graphically, looks great.
It does. Yeah, it does for like a game like this.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that was it really. I do have one inclusion that I want to add in there, and I thought it was just like a cool announcement. That publisher Prime Matter or whatever, and like their sizzle reel that they had, like. There's a bunch of like pretty intriguing shit in there, like some cyberpunk looking stuff, some fantasy stuff. I think Payday 3 was technically announced in that sizzle reel as well,
which supposedly isn't going to be out before 2023.
Yeah, that's why. That's literally why it's just like a fucking image of the four guys with their masks on. So, but yeah, I thought that was just a cool announcement in general. Like that's just like something that doesn't really happen that often. So.
Yeah, no, but that, you know, cool sizzle reel, and Payday is a game I've really never gotten into, but I know a lot of people have.
So. Payday 2 is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. I can't believe that it's, what's it called? A third one is, like, that far off, though.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to me. I think there probably wasn't going to be a third one happening, and then this publisher exists now, and they're like, can we grab this? And then... And the most they've gotten done is a fucking still image of the four guys in their masks.
Well, they were working on that Walking Dead game for a while, Overkill.
Oh, true.
That was okay.
True that.
Fair. Okay. That's all for news, if you guys would like to discuss off-topic, if you got it.
Do I have any off topic? I do. So, a few cool records. First, Ordinary Life from We Are the Union came out. It's a ska band that I've been listening to since like high school. They're more like pop punk and with horns than ska, honestly. Yeah, they put out a new record. It's really, really good. If you know the channel, the YouTube channel, or he's on TikTok too, Ska 2 Network. He does like the ska covers. Well, they do the ska covers of like, whatever, like just whether it's like, I think they recently did Redbone by Childish Gambino, and they've done like theme songs. They're in. We Are the Union, so if you want to support him more, you can go support their band. Very good. Also, I finally started listening to that Olivia Rodrigo record that everyone's been talking about, Sour. And it's so good, and I cannot stop listening to it. It's so good. It's so, so very good.
It's got a couple jams. A couple.
It's so good. It's like, couple, I think it's perfect two. Front to back. Personally, but that is all I've got.
Pat,
cool. I just finished Castlevania.
Yo, how good was that?
It's so good, dude.
There's one, so and we could talk about it off air. I don't want to spoil anything. But there's like a couple characters that like little up in the air in terms of like what they're gonna be doing. You know, it's like some characters they close off like perfectly, put a nice bow on it for you.
Yeah.
There's one or two where I'm like, what's I don't know. So, yeah.
I can tell you right now that I did not expect from season one into season four. I did not expect Isaac to be one of my favorite characters in the show.
So good,
he's so awesome.
That, I mean, like honestly, that show in its four seasons did not have a bad character.
No, it didn't. It really didn't. Like I can't think of anybody that I was like, yeah, this guy sucks. Or, no, like, this character is terrible. Like,
any character that they did introduce that sucked, they had a way of either like redeeming themselves or turning out to be a thing on entirely different.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly how I felt about Saint Germain in season three. Like I thought he was just like, what the fuck, whatever. Like this guy.
But at the end of season three, okay, here we go. He's got like there's really something cooking here. And then in this season, it was like a little fucking forget it.
Yeah, like exactly. Like he was just kind of whatever in season three, like the cap off his thing, like, and it's like intriguing. You're like, all right.
Yeah.
And then season four, and then you're like, he just like pops up, and I was like, oh,
Like, man, he pops up, all right.
Yeah, and then like this, like some crazy shit. Like, yeah, it's just the whole thing. Like the fucking that whole show. Was this the final season, or
that
was
there
another one?
Yeah,
this is it.
They
right?
actually they announced today that they will have another Castlevania show
like
set
a
in a different
right?
set in a different time period.
Okay, yeah, so that makes sense. But yeah, like it was just the fucking show was so good from front to back. It's incredible.
Yeah, that is one of the best. It might even be the best Netflix like animated show, like something they've done.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Oh my god, it is.
I agree with that.
Tremendous, and like the thing, the best thing about it, like you don't need to know jack shit about Castlevania. Like,
no,
they,
it's a completely contained story. Like,
yes,
you just the only thing you would need to know is like who, like what the Belmonts are, and like but they explain.
I was
so
gonna
you
say
don't
even
need to.
Maybe even like I mean, and everyone's heard of Dracula, so like, yeah. And that's kind of it. Like everybody else gets fleshed out incredibly yep. well, and even the Belmonts. Like if like granted, having some knowledge of that. Would help,
helps.
Certainly,
yeah.
And maybe you feel like some nostalgia to it, but like you don't need to know it.
Yeah, and the Belmont in the show is completely unique to the show. Like he's
oh,
not
really?
A character
he's,
in any.
Okay.
Yeah, he's I not a character that. In any of the games. As far as I'm aware, if he is a character in one of the games, it's like a Game Boy game or something like some offshoot that I've never played or probably heard of.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of Castlevania games.
There are, so he might be in like one or two that I just don't know of. But yeah, he fucking Trevor's great. Alucard's great. Sypha is fucking incredible. She's my other favorite character in the show. Sypha is such a badass. Like, I could not believe it. Like, from, like, the first season to now. I was like, holy shit. Like, the evolution that she goes through throughout the entire series is fucking phenomenal. But, yeah. Just, I cannot sing that show's praises enough if you have not watched it. Andy,
so,
go watch it.
Trevor Belmont is the main protagonist in Castlevania 3. Dracula's Curse.
Okay.
He also appears in Castlevania Curse of Darkness and its comic adaptation.
Okay. So, there you go. But, yeah, I think he's awesome. Like, all the characters, like, dynamics with each other, like, is just really fucking good. Like, there's a
yep.
scene, like, a quick thing that Sypha, like, a quick line that Sypha has where, like, a character, like, she's like, are you crazy to somebody? And they're like, yeah, I'm crazy. And she's like, wait, what? Fuck, what? Like, it's just, like, so perfectly delivered. Like, it's just, the fucking cast for that show is incredible. Everything
yep.
about it, it's so good.
I'm glad you got through it.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to, like, kind of milk it a little bit. I was doing, like, two episodes, like, every other couple days or something. But today I was like, you know, fuck it. I'm just gonna kill the back half of this real quick. I'm
gonna do it.
And then I started Loki yesterday. The first episode, whatever, I finished. I watched the first episode.
It's very good.
Yeah, it's great. Owen Wilson, fucking A+. Guy's killing it. And I'm just like really excited about like what this show can do and like what is going to happen. Because it's just so fucking like, it's like in lines with like WandaVision wacky as of right now.
I'd say wackier.
Yeah, even wackier because WandaVision kind of gets grounded after a little bit, but like right they just pretty much like goes right into it and like you're like what the fuck.
Yeah.
Like so I'm really excited to. Do we know how many episodes the season is? Is it 6 or 8?
I have no idea. I haven't watched the first episode yet, but I'm going to soon.
Yeah, it's yeah, definitely check it out. It's really good. I think since the last time we recorded, I think The Conjuring came out after we recorded, so I watched that. And it was good.
How does that stand up with the other 12 movies in the franchise?
I liked it better than the second Conjuring movie.
Isn't there
I
like
watched,
this
I,
has
yeah,
like
a
some
ton- ex-
okay,
there's
thank
like
you.
Annabelle creation and then Annabelle and then The Nun and like all these other fucking that I just it's just dumb to me and I just don't watch any of them because I think the coolest part about The Conjuring was that it was like at least the first movie was that. The threat was, like, unseen, and it was, like, a possession or, like, a ghost thing, and, like, it was, like, you know, you don't really see anything until the end of the movie. And this movie, the third one, The Devil Made Me Do It, is very similar to that, which is why I liked it. Because the second movie pretty much was just, in my eyes, me and Dan kind of had a little back and forth on this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In my eyes, mm-hmm. the second movie was kind of just, like, a monster movie. Like, you see the fucking nun, the big nun demon, like, a couple of times. There's, like, some other fucking, I forget what it was called, some other monster you see that, like, pops up in, the, like, the middle of the movie, for, like, 2 seconds. Some, like, old man ghost man that's like around. Like, it's just too much. I'm like, this is not. This is just fucking like, it's just not what like the first movie was. And I think that was why the Conjuring, the first Conjuring at least, was so like well regarded in like in a genre where it was just a lot of that bullshit over and over again. So I've never really been too keen on like the spin-offs or the second movie, really. So I'm glad that the third movie was better. I think the guy that plays Ed Warren directed this one. That's cool. Which is cool.
Patrick Wilson?
Something like that. Which I thought was cool, and I think probably why it was like a little bit better, because it wasn't. I think who was the fucking?
Yes,
was it
James? Patrick Wilson.
Was it James Wan that was doing the other movies?
I have no idea.
You're asking the wrong guy here, pal. I'm sorry.
Patrick Wilson is the most famous non-famous guy.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the fact that he was the one that was directing it helped a lot, and yeah, it was very good. So
you ever see Hard Candy with him?
No.
And Elliot Page? It's very good.
I have not.
You should. It's very good. Very, very cool role for him.
Sweet. Yeah, I'll maybe I'll check it out. Oh yeah, James Wan did The Conjuring 2, and I'm pretty sure the first one. But he's also the guy that is like responsible of like the Fast and Furious movies and Saw. So like you can imagine just getting like it's just that's like what he does. Like he just fucking movies just. He creates, like, these giant fucking franchises that really don't need to exist.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at his IMDb right now, and apparently The Nun 2 is announced, and he's a producer on it. Like, why does that movie need to be... Why does that need to exist?
He was going to do that Aquaman horror movie, right? That got canceled?
That I don't know. That I don't remember.
I think he was... It was called The Deep, the Trench. I know they canceled it. James Wan, yep. Yeah, it was an Aquaman spinoff, but it was going to be a horror movie.
Yeah, well, there you go. All
right. Is that it, Pat, on your off topic?
Yeah, I don't really have anything else. At least not that I can think of.
I was gonna say, I was like, it looks like you're thinking, and I wasn't too sure.
I was reading something. Sorry.
So I watched all of Sweet Tooth on Netflix.
Nice.
You finished it?
Great. It's really, really good.
I'm gonna try to watch it starting tomorrow.
I never read the comic, so I have no I can't speak to any variations of, you know, or any liberties they take, but you know, from just someone who watch the show. It's a good watch. I would recommend.
You should read the comic, Brian.
You've been saying that for a long time, Andrew.
Yeah, you should read
the I knew comic. That was coming. I get yeah. Once you said, I didn't read the comic, his head snapped up. It's like, here it comes.
It's yeah. So good. It's so good. It's so good.
I do really like Jeff Lemire, so it's, you know, one of those things that I just haven't gotten around to. What can
Batman
I say?
Exit County is like his two best things. You gotta read them both.
All right. So yeah, that I would recommend everyone should check that out. I'm almost done with the first season of Ted Lasso, and that show is fucking incredible. I
gotta watch that too.
Can't say enough good things about Ted Lasso. It somehow is just like super heartfelt and really funny, and like I don't give a fuck about soccer, but now I'm like, maybe I should watch soccer. Like I should check out, see what's going on in the pitch, man. Like I just like now I don't know. I don't know what to say, but. Man, it's so well written. It's very well produced. All the characters are fucking great. I'm excited that the second season's next month. I didn't realize that Sudeikis was like super involved in like the production of it, and I think the writing too. So it almost seems like this is kind of like his like, you know, like his baby. But he is so fucking funny in this, man. It's
yeah,
geez,
I'm
something else.
I really want to start it. Just because, like, I'm not a huge Jason Sudeikis fan because, like, he's he's got his shtick that he does in like pretty much everything he's in.
This is different.
Very much not
this
that.
This is different.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's very, he's very much not that in this show, which makes me really want to watch it because
yeah.
I've heard it's great. Like, my brother was like, last time my brother was home, we were hanging out and he was telling me about it and how much he like he fucking loves it and thinks it's hilarious. So I definitely want to check it out. I have
it's really good.
because of my new phone, I have a free year of Apple TV Plus. So.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff on there that I'll probably end up checking out, thanks to Andrew for family sharing that with me. But
y'all gotta watch Mythic Quest.
I will.
I watched the episode that came out today, but last week's episode, which was a throwback episode, and the throwback episode of season one is one of the best episodes. This throwback episode was very good.
That's cool.
Yeah, Mythic Quest is also on my watch list. I went on the app and I added shit to my watch list. Like. That I've heard is good.
It's very good.
Apple TV, and this is a fucking first world problem, Apple TV doesn't just have a play next feature.
Oh, really?
Yo, it's like, it's literally like, it's frustrating. Because, like, episode ends, credits are rolling, you're like, what? Like, you want to just hit the button
like,
just to.
You got to, like, back out and then go to the next
yes,
one.
Yes. And, like, it doesn't just put you right to the next one when you back out. It puts you to, like, you should watch this. And, like, Mythic Quest comes up, and I'm like, no, like, stop it. And then I have to back again, and then
really?
There's the next.
I thought the next episode comes up, but you just have to hit okay.
Not on, maybe it's the I'm not, like, I know you probably have, like, an Apple TV box.
No, I'm using the LG. I'm going to pay attention to it when I watch something.
Let me know, because if I'm missing something.
Yeah. Like, I gotta see.
Because unless, like, I'm just not letting the credits roll
all
the way.
It could be me.
So, I don't know. I mean, the last two episodes said last, I was like, what the fuck's going on? Why can't I just fire right into the next one? Like, this is, it's just terrible.
Apple wants you to get up for your health.
I have the remote. What are you talking about? I just gotta hit the, this is what's even, like, the worst part about it. I just have to hit the back button, like two more times than usual.
Yeah, I have the app downloaded on my Xbox. I haven't watched anything on it yet, so I don't know if there's, like, a next feature on that particular app, so
yeah, I don't know. Either way, it's
I'll report my findings.
Yes, thank you. So yeah, Ted Lasso, watch that. Sweet Tooth, watch that. That was great. I'm trying to think if there's anything off topic that I watched. Other than that, I didn't watch Loki. No, that's it for movies and TV. For music. I don't know if I said this last week, so if I'm repeating myself, I'm sorry, but Jubilee, Japanese Breakfast, everybody should listen to that. Love the record. It's fucking great.
I didn't finish it yet, but what I did listen, I like a lot.
Path of Wellness by Sleater-Kinney is a recent release that I've listened to a lot. It's really good. And yeah, that's it for me. So,
I don't know if I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I haven't watched any more of it, but I did start The Bad Batch, which is that Clone Wars like spinoff. The first episode was great. And I do want to go back to it, and I just never did.
I heard good things. So. that's it for Off Topic, right? I think we're good? I
think so, yeah.
Cool. So this was another episode of the OK Gamers Podcast. So as always, thank you guys for listening. If you want to talk to us more, you can go to our Discord, okgamers.com. Should link it to an invite. If that doesn't work for some reason, you can go to our Twitters. Reach out to one of us individually. I'm at Zinza Brian, Andrew's at Andrew Gebbia, and Pat's at PC Mirth. Thank you again, and as always, enjoy the remainder of your lives.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.